Little Miss McCord, copyright Serenyamurthy, 2018. You're kidding, I exclaimed. I was going to be a dad? She looked up at me in surprise. Jason, are you really happy? I picked her up and swung her around before realizing it was probably bad for the baby. I was so frightened, Emma kept saying. She had her head on my shoulder as we sat in the park eating ice cream. I was so frightened. I continued to hold her close. She hadn't wanted to tell anyone until the first trimester. No one would have known how much I had come close to losing. I would never have told my folks. They'd had more than enough tragedy in their lives. It would have been too much for them to handle. I kissed the top of Emma's head, fragile blonde locks, and reflected that it was strange how absurdly protective of my parents I felt now. I had spent the better part of my life being mad at them. Henry Ward Beecher was right. You never know the love of a parent until you become a parent yourself. I cleared my throat. I think we should tell my parents. Emma placed a finger to my lips. No. I was prepared for this. Emma, I think we should tell our parents, she replied, and our grandfathers. There was a pause. Okay, I said. You got it. We are not selling the farmhouse, I said to Emma. It's been in the family for generations. I thought you said the McCords only went back 2 generations, Emma pointed out. I'm talking about my mother's family, I replied. You mean the Adams family? Her eyes twinkled with mischief. I asked you not to call them that, I said patiently. They probably came over on the Mayflower. Well, according to the laws of primogeniture, doesn't your Uncle Will get this place? Emma asked. Primogeniture, not male primogeniture, I said. Grandpa left it to Mom, thank God. I mean, I love Uncle Will as much as the next person, but let's face it, you can't leave a plum piece of family heritage in the hands of a nomad like that. The land has to go to someone who will cultivate and settle it, and, oh my God, I'm quoting Uncle Sam. Not to mention the Homestead Act, Emma laughed. She looked down at Julia, who had woken up and was waving her little fists about. Well, hello there, little Miss McCord, Emma cooed. Whatever can you be thinking of? Are you thinking that all this, she gestured around her, might be yours someday? Oh no, sweetie, she remonstrated. Don't pull your father's hair. Nah, that's all right, I said, taking the squirming, wriggling bundle into my arms. My baby girl can pull my hair if she wants to. Julia laughed right in my ear. It had all the texture of crushed pearls. It had occasionally grated on my nerves when Dad praised Stevie to the skies, talking about how fond and proud he was of her, but I was beginning to understand the old man at last. Dad is in the hospital. It's for an ordinary surgical operation to guard against a second heart attack, but it'll mean a 3-week stay. We're trying not to let it get to us, but still, hospitals are hospitals. New lines appear on Mom's face every day. I hate to see them, and yet I'm glad to see them because it means she's still alive and registering. My thoughts are taking a very morbid turn lately. Stevie Skypes with Dad every morning and night. Allie flew in this morning. I picked her up from the airport. She wanted to go straight to the hospital. Dad was asleep when we got there. He awoke a few minutes later, and the first thing he saw was her face bending over him. My favorite, he exclaimed in a tone drenched with joy. I think he may have been close to tears. She embraced him and cried into his chest for a little while, the same way she used to do when she was a kid. I went out of the room and left them alone. I wasn't thinking straight. I got a call from Julia's school. She had thrown up in gym class and needed someone to come and take her home. Like father, like daughter. I didn't feel up to going back into Dad's room. Fortunately, Mom was coming down the hallway. I buttonholed her. Listen, Mom, I said urgently. Julia got sick at her school. Mom's eyes immediately clouded over with concern. It's nothing serious, probably, but I have to go pick her up. Emma's at home with Emily. Can you bring Allison over? Later? Mom still drives. Of course, honey, she said warmly. You go ahead. Give Julia a hug from us. Will do. I left. Emma and I had her hands too full with a sick Julia and a pouting Emily to think of much else. We consumed hasty mouthfuls of dinner in between coaxing Julia to sleep on the sofa. She declared that the sight of food made her sick, but she didn't want to leave either one of us. For reasons inconceivable to me, Emily also steadfastly refused to eat her dinner. Neither of us had the energy to negotiate with her. Emma put her to bed early, insisting that she wake us up if she got hungry at night, and Daddy would get her something to eat. I knew she was just sulking about something, probably the fact that Julia was sick and couldn't play, but I still couldn't stomach the idea of my little girl waking up hungry in the middle of the night and not knowing how to handle it. She was still too young to understand how her actions were impacting us. I went upstairs, glad of the opportunity to get some sleep, when a little voice said, "Daddy!" in a demanding tone. Emily was still awake and out of bed. Her head poked out of the doorway, tiny fingers clutching the door jamb. She was frowning at me. "What is it, sweetheart?" I asked warily. I know I should have got on her for being out of bed, but the truth is, I was more interested in my own sleep. She could have binge-watched My Little Pony for all I was going to do about it. "I can't sleep," Emily pouted at me. I sighed, wishing she could have let me off the hook. There was a rocking chair in her room, and it looked about as inviting as anything. I went in, sat down, and scooped Emily up. I didn't have to reach very far. She was tagging at my heels. We settled in. The warm bundle on my torso was as soothing as a hot water bottle. My eyelids began to droop. "Daddy, you love Julia more than me," Emily accused out of the blue. "That's not true," I said, struggling to keep my eyes open. "I love you both the same." I yawned through the last few words, and it didn't sound very convincing. Emily picked up on this. "Kids are smart." "No, you love Julia more," she insisted. "What makes you say that?" I remembered from debate team that sometimes the best way to win was to hear what your opponent had to say. Emily compiled a list of my sins. "You sang to her more times than me. You hugged her more times than me. You gave her a ride home from school." "Honey, you were already at home," I pointed out, trying to stifle a laugh. "She had to be picked up." Emily turned her head and pressed her cheek against my chest, unconvinced. I stroked her hair. My thoughts were running into each other. I didn't feel especially coherent. "I love both my girls the same," I said at last. "Julia made me a father. You made my sister a godmother. Aren't you excited to see Aunt Allie tomorrow?" I joggled her, hoping that the mention of her favorite aunt would perk her up. "Yeah." Emily's thoughts were still elsewhere. She put her thumb to her mouth as though she wanted to suck it. She had left this habit behind months ago. I gently squeezed the thumb to deter her. She looked up at me. I could see her thoughts cogitating. "Julia's is better," she informed me. "Being a dad is more important than being a godmother." "Both matter to me," I assured her. "Okay," she said, just as I used to say it. I racked my brain. Something I had read a long time ago bubbled up. "Look, Emily, you like roses, don't you?" I asked. "Uh-huh." She nodded her head up and down on my chest. She was still trying to suck her thumb. I continued to hold on to it. "You like oranges, don't you?" I asked. "Yeah." She sounded a little happier. "Which do you like better?" This gave her pause for thought. I could almost see the words forming in her brain. "One you eat, the other you..." I had to hustle the conversation along to its logical conclusion. "You like them both, don't you?" She nodded. "It's not as if one could replace the other." She shook her head no. "That's how I feel about my girls." Emily appeared to think this over. I patted her back, hoping that she would go to sleep, but instead, she piped up with a question. "Which one am I? Which do you want to be?" "The orange." "No, wait, the rose. "You got it," I said. I thought for sure we were done now, but she peremptorily commanded, "Sing to me." I was really groggy by this time, but any refusal would have been tantamount to declaring a preference for Julia. I didn't have the energy to summon any lyrics. The only song percolating through my brain was the one that had played on the car radio on my way to Julia's school. We'd had a different kind of soundtrack on the way home. There was nothing for it, so turn around, bright eyes. Every now and then I fall apart, and I need you more tonight, and I need you more than ever. I settled Emily more securely on my chest, stretched out a leg, and stuck my foot on the top of her bed's railing. It was more comfortable than it sounded. My head lolled on my shoulder, and it was as if I was singing myself to sleep as much as her. And if you'll only hold me tight, we'll be holding on forever. I used to think we were falling in love, but now we're only falling apart. There's nothing I can do. It's a total eclipse of the heart. When I woke up, I found that someone had draped a blanket over Emily and me. I'd ordinarily say with certainty that Emma had done it, but I remembered that Mom must have dropped Allison off late last night. After discovering a pan of dry lasagna noodles in the oven, I texted Mom, "Can you PLS feed her?" And thank goodness my sainted mother understood my cryptic message, because she answered right away that they'd get Allison dinner at the hospital cafeteria. I chucked the blanket off. Emily didn't stir. After tucking her carefully in bed, I washed up and went downstairs. Emma was frying pancakes, and a familiar black-haired figure was standing beside her. They were chatting away. "Morning, hun," I said, kissing my wife. "Hey, Allie." Allison gave me a big hug. "How's Julia this morning?" I asked, just as Emma asked, "Did Emily get to sleep all right?" "Slept like a log," we both answered each other. "Eventually." Allison was looking at us in awe. "I still can't believe you guys are actually parents," she said in an almost reverential tone. "Sometimes we can't quite believe it ourselves." When Julia woke up, it was as if the previous night had never taken place. Ditto Emily, who ran downstairs and flung herself upon Aunt Allison. Both girls were consumed with Aunt Allie and the presents she had brought them. "You do spoil them terribly, sis," I observed. "They're only young ones," she said to me. After breakfast, we all piled into the car and set off for the hospital. Allie was sandwiched between her nieces in the back seat. They both competed to tell her things. It was the first time in months that Emma and I had a real conversation where both of us were fully awake. When we went in, the head nurse pulled me aside and mentioned in a low voice that Dad had had kind of a rough night and maybe wasn't up to seeing a couple of high-energy youngsters first thing in the morning. If we could hold off Julia and Emily until after he'd had breakfast? I began to feel really concerned. "Is my mother here?" I asked. Turns out she had gone home to get a few hours sleep. I didn't want Dad to be alone. I filled Emma and Allison in. They said they'd stay with the girls in the children's playroom. Relieved, I went upstairs. Dad was awake. His eyes brightened when he saw me. "Hey, buddy," he said. I went over and kissed his forehead. There was a time when this would have been anathema maranatha to me, but now it just felt right. "Hi, Dad," I said. "You look dead beat out," he observed candidly. "Thanks, you don't look so bad yourself," I scoffed, dropping into a chair. I ran my hand through my hair. It was kind of a rough night. "How's Julia?" he asked. "Good as new," I said. It was Emily who really threw me for a loop. I hadn't really planned to bore my old man with this, but he was interested, and I knew I wouldn't get anywhere asking him about his night. "She accused me of loving Julia more," I said. Dad nodded wisely. "Been there," he replied. "With Stevie and Allison?" I figured as much. Dad laughed. "Nah," he said. "Allison and you." "What?" I couldn't believe my ears. "No way." "It's true." I had no memory of that. I said as much. "I can still hear her." Dad imitated a younger Allison with a high-pitched voice. "Of course you love Jason more. He's the boy. Everyone knows fathers love their sons the most. Mom loves Stevie and you love Jason and I'm stuck in the middle and no one loves me." She would collapse into tears at this point, Dad concluded in his normal voice. I really couldn't believe it. I had no idea Allison had ever felt that way. Anyway, it's all water under the bridge now, I said. With Emily, I mean. She forgot about her troubles the minute she laid eyes on Aunt Allie. I know the feeling, Dad said. Mom and the girls, all four of them, came in after Dad had had breakfast. Julia and Emily leapt onto the bed, squealing, Grandpa! He placed an arm around each of them. Grandpa, this place is boring, Julia complained. When are you coming home? As soon as these mean doctors let me, Dad assured her. Eventually, the girls, Julia and Emily, grew bored with the grown-up chatter, scrambled into a corner of the room, and began playing with some wind-up toy Allison had given them. This left us free to hear Dad gripe about Allison's choice of airline. We were asking about his night, which he insisted was mere insomnia, when we were interrupted by a sudden squeal of indignation. Julia huffed up to me, hands on her hips. Daddy, she expostulated. Yes, sweetheart, I asked, feeling perfectly bewildered. The room had fallen silent. Daddy, Julia said again. Emily hovered behind her with a face full of mischief. Daddy, I want to be the rose, Julia stared up at me, her brows knitted in a frown. And I thought I'd played that analogy so well. I got down to Julia's eye level. You are my first rose, I said, touching her cheek. Her brow cleared and her expression transformed into one of happiness. Daddy, Emily spluttered. You asked if I wanted to be the orange or the rose, and I said the rose, and you said I could be the rose. Well, your sister has that same choice, sweetheart, I replied. No! Emily was about to have a fit, but Allison averted it. Who wants to see something super cute? She asked the room, holding up her phone. Distracted, Emily looked up. I had a premonition of what this might be. It must have been Allison who draped that blanket over us last night. Allie, I groaned. I love technology, she beamed at me, before playing the video of me singing Emily to sleep. There were several comments when the video ended. The only one worth recording was Julia's. Dad, how come you never sing that song to me?